Look in 1 Corinthians, if you'd like, with me, if you have your Bibles, in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, at the last trumpet, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I'd like to talk today about God's glorious change upon the saints. Or you may look at it like this: all things, we have all things to look forward to. You know, the Christian has everything to look forward to and nothing to look back to. We have everything to look forward to. You see, the Apostle Paul is led by the Spirit of God in this epistle, in this letter, to write to the Corinthians and to explain them the gospel. And we read that in the first few verses of this chapter. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how he was buried and rose again the third day, and how he was seen, how he died for our sins. And that's the miracle of the gospel. The good news that people can be saved, and people can have a Savior, but they must know who that Savior is: Jesus Christ. But the gospel, Jesus Christ is our only hope of redemption. Jesus rose from the dead the third day, and also his resurrection was for his people. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth in, believeth in me shall never die." And he told Mary or Martha, he said, "Believest thou this?" And he said, "Believe this." This is what the faith is: believing upon Jesus Christ, trusting in him, and as your only hope of redemption. But notice the Apostle Paul answers the thoughtful questions in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And even some of the saints might have had questions about the resurrection and the Christian faith. But look at verse 42, 1 Corinthians 15. Instead of reading the whole chapter, he tries to clarify it just a little bit more. So he says in verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory." That's the great change. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown, when you're saved, you have the power of God. You've resurrected. You've been brought to life spiritually. But then there's another change that the Lord's going to give. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, the quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy; the second man of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. And he says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." One day it all take place. And, some days you wonder, when will it ever happen? But it's going to happen. We're going to be there as saints. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. That's why you must be saved. Holy Spirit's going to make it possible for you to be there. But notice, Paul concludes a wonderful mystery pertaining to every blood-washed believer, chosen by God's grace and predestined by God. And he says that Paul writes, and he writes this mystery of the resurrection in glory. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we owe it all to the Lord. Jesus Christ, he's a person. You know, people say, well, God somewhere out here. No, he's personal. The Lord is a person. He relates with his people. And notice something here. God will perform a glorious change. And notice this sure secret of God's change. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery, a secret, but he's going to reveal it. I'll show you a mystery. And he says, we shall not all sleep. We will not be dead in the grave forever, but we shall all be changed. And someone says they put that sign in the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Is that true? But look at the next verse, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall all be changed. Notice there is going to be a change. And you heard that word twice. He says in verse 52, a trumpet, a trumpet. And we know that trumpet sound, we'll hear it. And it's, look at 1 Corinthians 4 a minute, verse 15. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 4. Thanks, Brother Harvey. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. And notice with me. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Someone told me about 3 weeks ago, a man told me, well, I believe it's going to happen, Christian. And he said, but I believe the Lord's only going to come for the faithful. And then, you heard that. And then, during the tribulation, those that have to go through certain tribulation will God will take with them. And I say, well, who determines the degree of faithfulness? You know, I mean, you can't measure it. And how does someone know? Have I been faithful enough? It doesn't make sense scripturally, because the Bible says we've been saved from the wrath, all wrath to come. And well, people, you know, if people just realize certain things you can't measure in the Bible. God might measure one person's faithfulness to another person, and they might be as faithful as the person that was less likely to be less faithful. But that person that was more faithful might have had more opportunity to be even more faithful. How do you measure that? It's all, the Lord will take every born of one of his children at that trumpet sound. But notice the rapture of the saints into the presence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we look for the Savior. Who's going to change our vile body? The Lord's going to take us. But notice, when is this going to happen? Look at 1 Thessalonians 15. He says, we shall all be changed. In verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye. That means the time required for a rapid wink. Just a quick wink. The Lord's going to take his people home. It's going to happen so rapidly. And God's calling his children to be ready, to be looking. He's calling those that have never been saved to take a serious look at Jesus Christ and the warning that he is coming. His coming is for his children. Make sure you know him as your Savior. But notice God's sovereignty over death. Look at verse 53. God's glorious change. Listen, we have all things to look forward to. There's God's power over death. And notice verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, And this mortal shall must put on immortality. There's a big there's power over death by the Lord. And notice verse 54. So then this corruptible must shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, no death is swallowed up in victory. Immortality, deathlessness, endless life, eternal life. But God is triumphant over death. And he said that. I'm going to read a scripture in Isaiah 25, verse 8. And this is a scripture he's referring to. But let me read it, because it'll help make sense. Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. And he says, he will swallow up death in victory. He will swallow up death. He will overpower death. And the Lord will wipe away tears from off our faces. That's in Revelations. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Those words we can say. The Christian can really proclaim those statements. And it's a true fact. But notice, listen, I thought of this today. If I was sure that the Lord saved me, I'm sure that I'm going to be with him in heaven. Where, I mean, where our salvation is not complete. Where we're completely saved. But the final part, the final curtain will be open. We'll be with the Lord. And all eternity. And just be ready. And incorruptible. Not able to decay. Not able to decay. Corruptible. That which can decay. Make sure you have been born again by the incorruptible seed, by the word of God. And notice God's glorious change upon the saints. All things to look forward to because we have God's salvation, which is victory in Christ. Look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He's hollering at death. He's hollering at the grave, and he said, where is thy victory? There's no victory when you're in Christ. I mean, there's no victory in of death. That death has no victory over you. And notice, there's victory in Christ. Sting, that which causes sorrow and suffering. And notice, where is thy sorrow when you're in Christ? No more sorrow, no more pain. Though we have some here on earth, we have it here. And the Lord knows all about it. But look at verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law. You see, the power, the sting, the power of sin is the law. The holy law of God, God's law reveals and or it shines light on the awfulness of what sin really is, what it's doing in people's lives. All you have to do is look around and look at people's lives. In the world that are in depth in sin, you can look. I grew up as a teenager. I had friends that were involved in, bad. I was following the same trail, but I stopped and looked. I said, wait a minute. He's gone to jail. He's always in trouble. He's out of school. I mean, I started thinking twice. What am I doing? Why am I going to follow a loser when I can follow a winner and follow someone else? That knows where they're going, knows what they're doing, knowing what's right. And then the Lord brought me to him, which is great. And you can't lose when you follow Christ. You look at the world, and the world always goes contrary to the Lord. And when they do, what happens? Well, they have to find an excuse. Well, this happened and this happened, but it didn't have to happen. God's people, young people too, can look to the things of God and find wisdom. Find joy. There's more liberty in Christ than there is outside of Christ. Amen. People follow the wrong group sometimes and they get in trouble. But listen. Notice the next verse. Verse 57. We'll just go on there. And he says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is a victor in and by Jesus Christ. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith There's more power in faith than there is in the wisdom of this world. There's more power in the faith of God than there is in wisdom of this world. You know what? When someone tells you it's okay to do this, and the Bible never says it's okay to do it, who has more authority? God's word has more authority. God says no to protect you from a lot of danger. The world says it's okay to cover up a lot of sin, and they never do. The world always tries to cover sin by sinning, by doing another sin. I mean, a lot of things don't make sense to me sometimes, but when you come to the Lord, you realize it doesn't make sense. But if you look to the Lord, you'll find wisdom, you'll find direction, you'll find strength, especially when you read the Bible. But notice, the believer is a victor through Christ. But notice, there's satisfying promises in Christ. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, he says, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's satisfying promise, seeing that God has saved you and promised a change in glory and everything to look forward to, he says, seeing all these blessings, be steadfast. Beloved brethren, he's talking to every believer, be steadfast. And that means be firm, be fixed, be fixed in your faith, be settled. That's what he's saying, be firm. Be unmovable, unshaken. And the Bible says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The gospel has given us so much hope. Don't be moved away. There's so many distractions. But just say, wait a minute, will this honor Christ? Will this give God glory? Is this the right thing to do? And I guarantee you, if you stop and think before you do something, man, make a decision, you'll find some direction. It's better to stop and think and ask someone with some wisdom, if you're unsure, than to go on with something and get in trouble later and said, I wish I would have talked to somebody. What does the Bible say? In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And notice, why should we be steadfast, fixed, set, unmovable, unshaken? Because we have a sure and stable hope. Look at Hebrews 6:19 a minute. Hebrews 6:19, he says, in which hope we have. Just like the young man said this morning. I say young man, I guess he's a teenager and I'm a young. You get 30s, people think you're old. So, but which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's the kind of hope. It's an anchor. Both sure and steadfast, in which entereth into that which is in within the veil. When I was 17, 18, 19, I was in the Navy. We're out at our ship was out at sea. We'd anchor out. Drop that giant anchor into the ocean. And it would go so far, so many fathoms deep, so far. And each chain link was about this wide and weighed, I don't know, seemed it weighed 500 pounds each, you know. And that anchor would dig down into the ground. Then the chain would dig under the ground and hold that ship from moving. And that anchor can be pulled up. But the anchor you have in Christ, it's never going to be pulled up. It's never going to be moved away. You're never going to drift. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're always His. It's eternal security of every believer. But notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding, making advances towards the kingdom of God. Always abounding, always moving forward. Be diligent. And notice what he says in Hebrews again in 6 verse 9. It really goes along with this in Hebrews 6 verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation know we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And he says in verse 11 and 12, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, zeal, to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitators. Imitate those that follow Christ. Imitate Christ. Imitate the word of God. And notice, as we close, verse 58 again. I want you to read that. Every Christian, this should be a verse that might encourage you for the week. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No labor is ever in vain in the Lord. I remember I had a Christian brother talk, kind of got around some of us young boys, young men, when I was just saved, just 19, and kind of encouraged us about the things of God, encouraged us about prayer, and he really taught us a lot. His name was Daniel. He taught us about the Word of God and a little bit, and taught us how to pray over a friend that was in trouble. He taught us how to fast. First time we've tried it, and taught us how to pray. And I remember we went somewhere to pray, and we had about four of us men. And he said, okay, we're going to have a time of prayer, hour of prayer. You know, we never did it. And went down there and prayed with them, and four of us men. And about 15 minutes, I'd get up to see if everyone's still praying. Get down, but we made it. And everyone left. Old Daniel's still there praying. He taught us how to study, how to read. Well, we just to get involved in the Word. He taught us how to read the Bible and study. I said, why is he always writing all these notes on the Bible? Then I had another brother just starting to go to church. He taught me how to give. And now, he just threw a $20 in the plate, $20 bill in the plate. And that was probably his tithe or maybe even tithe and offerings. And I looked and I said, I can't believe he threw $20 in that plate. $20! But if I don't tithe, I feel like I'm sinning against God. I know I am. I mean, we tithe and give because you can't outgive God. I can tell you that. You can never outgive the Lord. But it was just new to me. It was new to me. And but the thing is, and many other people that have helped me, the things they've done in the Lord was not in vain because I learned. Anything you do in the Lord is not in vain because people learn. What you do at home for the Lord is not in vain because someone else will learn. Bring your young people to church, it's not in vain because it encourages them. They'll be faithful. Show them the things of Christ. You can be a witness wherever you are. All Christians, where you labor, at home. What you do in Christ is a labor. What you do at home. What you do at school, it's a labor. If you try to do it in the name of Christ, that's your labor. And the Lord's going to honor that. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do at work. Listen, I work outside the ministry also. And I'm around people every day. And I'm around people with the dirty jokes. Any of you guys around people with dirty jokes? I'm around them all the time. I'm around people that get mad and angry and hateful and mean and lie. But what do? You just be a witness. Be a witness. Don't cuss. You know, it's so easy for the world to just cuss. What does that prove? It proves ignorance. I really believe that. Proves ignorance. It's a sin, too. Saying God's name in vain. I tell them, listen, God will not hold that you guiltless when you say that. You're guilty. And you don't have to follow those things that are foolish. And if you serve the Lord and be sincere, and you're not going to be perfect because, listen, they know I'm a preacher. And they look for any little thing I do. So I know if you do something that you make a mistake in, you say, well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's all. And you go on and serve God. God will bless your labor in the Lord. What you do in the church, God will bless your labor in the Lord. So remember that verse there, for my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. It's not an empty, void act. In the Lord. You think, well, God doesn't see this. God has seen it, and He'll bless it. But there's one last statement I want to say. Paul said, if you're sure that you're going to be with the Lord, you're sure that you have victory, you must be sure that you have Christ. You know Christ, and you must believe that gospel. And he says, you're saved. I delivered unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, in verse 1. In verse 2 he says, by which ye are saved. Amen. You must have your sins, you must be delivered from sin by trusting in Christ. Where is it? Well, Jesus isn't here. He's here. He's in his church. He can save your soul when you trust in him by faith. If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He had to die. His blood had to be shed. He had to be a sacrifice, a substitute for his people. Who are his people? All I can say is, if you feel God's speaking to your heart, God, you could be one of his people. God's speaking to your heart, and you respond to that message. He died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, that you might be justified, forgiven, and you can look forward to that immortality, eternal life. And you'll always have the Lord with you wherever you go. If you're away from the things of God, all you have to do is say, Lord, I've been away from you, but I want to turn back. I want to give you that I want to give my life an opportunity to put you first and glorify God like I ought to. And God will bless you.